Turn in your Bibles, if you will, or on your electronic devices to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm excited to say I got a new preaching Bible, but I got to break it in, so the pages are sticking on me. but never could find the other one, so I finally got one that... It's not so big and bulky that this thing goes down. You get those big study Bibles and they just don't hold the weight. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm finishing up our message on why church. You know, we were in a series of why. The series was called Why. We started out with why Jesus, and then why the Bible, and then why church? And there was a series of questions that I asked you. Why do we need Jesus? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we come to church? And that's the underlying of this question of why church? Why do we come to church? And we talked about several things last week, but just a couple main things. The big reason is to walk worthy of our calling. God calls us to Him, to witness for Him, to walk worthy of that calling, to be obedient to Him. And so this week I'm going to finish up on why church. And then the last one was why people. Why people. But I'm going to hold that one off till Easter. And I'll finish the series up on Easter Sunday. And Pastor Bill's going to come next week and he's going to bring a message for us on Palm Sunday. And then I'll finish this series. And I'm looking forward to it on Easter. And I hope that you're using those little invite cards that we put in the bulletins to hand to somebody and invite them to join you on Easter. It's an opportunity to bring people to Christ, to just expose them to the fact of what we just sang earlier, that Jesus loves them. And there's a lot of people walking around out there that just don't realize that. And... But they'll come on Easter if you'll invite them. So invite them. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? Believers. Believers. You know, we don't act like saints all the time, do we? But you know, that's what God calls us. That's kind of an indication of why we need to walk according to our calling, worthy of our calling. For the equipping of the saints to do what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means the building up of the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? The church, people, right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith, agreeing together in Christ, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, knit together by what every joint supplies according to what? What's it say? Are you reading your Bibles? According to
the effective working.
See, from whom the whole body is joined together. Jesus joins the whole body together, knit together by every joint, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and causes growth of the body for the building up, the edifying of itself in love. We see some things there that are very clear, and I'm going to come back to this passage a little later at the end of the toward the end of the message. But there's a couple things I want us to see that this points out very clearly why we need to be in church. And the first one is that we need to be in church to worship with others together. Worship with others together. The next thing is to be taught the Word of God. And the third reason we need to be in church together is for spiritual growth. To grow spiritually. That's what we just read about in that passages. To grow spiritually. And you know, that's something we try to do here at HeartCry is teach people, even from the ground up, from the youngest to the oldest, to do these things, to worship together, to be taught the Word, to grow spiritually in your faith. And I want you to see a slide from Kids Corral from a week or so ago. I think it was from last week. And I want to just stop and show this slide because it's an example of what we're trying to do here from the very youngest up. Can we put that up? Can you pull those points down? Now, I don't know how well you can see that, but that's taken in Kids Corral. They're being taught a series of lessons about Jesus through the Bible that builds up to Easter and about Jesus and the things he did. And what they're doing right there is a foot washing. You know, we had one here last year. They're doing a foot washing there. And it was absolutely fantastic to watch those little ones as they go through that. The adults were in there with them, and they were washing each other's feet. See, it's teaching just what we read there, to worship together, to be taught the Word, and to grow spiritually. And we want to teach it from the youngest to the oldest, from the ground up. Thank you for that slide. By the way, just a little promo. We got a great kids corral and a great kids church, and we're teaching them the Word. You see, there's many examples and encouragements in the Bible. Go back to the left in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. There's many examples and even encouragements in the Bible of these things being done, and why church? Why come to church? I want you to look in verse 42. And this is talking about when the church was actually birthed in the very beginning, right after Pentecost, and they begin to come together. And I'm going to read 41, and then we'll see 42. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that verse. I don't know what version of the Bible you have, but they continued. Underline continued. That's important to know. They didn't just hit it one time or on occasion. They continued. Well, how do you know that? Well, because the next word really bears that out. They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly. Now, what does that mean? The word steadfast means firm in purpose. Firm in purpose. It also means unwavering. Faithfully. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, and in fellowship. Fellowship's a big deal. That's another reason we come to church, to fellowship together. In the breaking of bread and in prayers, eating together, in prayers. You know what that's describing? Life groups. Life groups, as well as the corporate church, is describing life groups too. See, in other words, they were devoted to the same primary things, which is our example as being that same church, to be steadfast and devoted. Just as they were then, we need to be steadfast and devoted in our times to those same things. To teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to praying. We need to be devoted and steadfast in that today. You see, in that time, the temple was the common meeting place. But they also met in their houses, fellowshipping together with glad and sincere hearts, verse 46 says. You see, church life is not just a nice suggestion. It's not just a nice suggestion. Too often, Christians approach it the same way unbelievers do. And how's that? It's optional. It's optional. You know, when we look at God's Word, it's really not optional. It's important. And this is the fact. This is the point. The truth is, it's God's will for us. Church life is God's will for believers. Go toward the back of the Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Or push the buttons on your electronic device and go right there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Here's another reinforcement from God's Word. And I'm going to read it in the NIV. And I think that's what you'll see on the screen. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's not a suggestion. Can we leave that up, Rob? Thank you. You see, even back then, there was probably an issue with people consistently coming together for worship. So why go to church? Well, we see it there. To encourage one another toward love and good deeds. Serving each other, in other words. Doing ministry together. Anybody need to be encouraged today? Well, a few of you. The rest of you, come on, catch up with your clock. I do. Why do we need to be encouraged? Well, for starters, just look at the world around us that we're living in. The challenges, the negativity, you know. And then if nothing else, what we see happening around the world is the end times that we're in. We are in the end times. And we should, and that just in itself should be incentive to be in church consistently. We need to be here. We need to be encouraged. And we need to be encouraging each other when we're here. Not just come and sit and take a nap, your morning nap, okay? We need to encourage one another. I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I want you to take notes on these scriptures. And so they're going to just reiterate what we're talking about. The first one is 1 John 4:12. 1 John 4:12. Robbie, I'm going to read off the screen instead of trying to turn fast to all of them. Don't try to go to all these. I want you to take some notes on this. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. In other words, manifested in us. So the church is a place that people can love one another. Write it down. The church is a place where people can love one another. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3:13. I'm going to give you time to try to write these notes down, so hopefully I won't go too fast. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily. Lift up, encourage one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Church is a place for freedom and serving. Church is a place for freedom and serving. Free to worship. Free to worship in any way you want. And I'm not talking about doing something and calling crazy stuff and calling attention to yourself, but freedom to worship and freedom to serve others. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. The church should be a place to honor each other. To honor each other as fellow believers. To honor each other above yourself in an attitude of service and gratitude. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as in Christ God forgave you. Now this one here we need to hang on for a minute. Because this is a challenge. Not for just the church, but for everybody, but especially for the church. Christians are sometimes notorious for not living this scripture out. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, why? Even as God in Christ forgave you. Listen, if God forgives me, who am I not to forgive someone else? You see what happens when we hold on to unforgiveness? If you look at this scripture, what you're doing is you're elevating yourself above God, above Christ. Oh, He forgave me. I'm good with that. But I'm not forgiving them. I'm not forgiving that person. I'm not forgiving that wound. Well, Scripture says, even as God, through Christ, forgave you, you're to forgive. We need to do that. Church is a place to express compassion and forgiveness. Compassion and forgiveness for each other, for others. You see, when a person puts their faith in Jesus for salvation, he or she is adopted by God. Do you realize that? When you come to Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus, you're being adopted by God. You're being adopted into His family. And so, when a person puts their faith in Christ, they're adopted into His family. So they become a member of the body of Christ. You see, a church body functions properly when all of its parts are present and functioning. Amen. Think about the human body. It functions best when all the parts are present and functioning, doing what they're supposed to do. Well, it's the same thing with the church. This is the analogy Jesus uses. It's the same way with the church. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we go to church, so that we're part of the body, and we all are part of the body, and we're functioning as part of the body, because that's what builds the church up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Back to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to wake you up every now and then because of this time change. Some people don't do good with that. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the I am not of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Is that pretty easy to understand? It's talking about the comparison of the body to the body of Christ, to the church body. You know, if the hand says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a foot, that doesn't work. The body doesn't work properly without the hands, both feet. You see, it doesn't mean just attending. It also means this, a functioning body of believers. The church is a functioning body of believers. Everybody has a part. Doesn't matter how big or little. This is what you need to know. Nothing is insignificant in the body of Christ. Nothing is insignificant that you do to serve the Lord, to serve each other. And so, why do we come to church? So that we can be a part of helping it function properly. You see, using our gifts that God has given us, only through using our gifts can a believer really reach spiritual maturity. Using their giftedness. That's how we reach spiritual maturity. Using our giftedness. Listening to teaching. Studying the Word. Reading the Word. Living the Word. That's how we grow spiritually. But unless you're using your giftedness for God, it's hard to get to that spiritual maturity. Here's the point. Regular church attendance. Regular church attendance and fellowship, it ought to be a desire for the Christian. It ought to be a desire. You ought to say, man, I want to be there. I don't want to miss. Even when you go on vacation or you're out of town, man, you ought to have a desire. I wish I was there. So I'll watch it on live stream. Don't want to miss. Not because just because you miss the preaching or the worship, but because you miss people. Amen. You miss each other. That's what God designed the church to be. That's how He designed it to be something that we desire to come together, to do things together, to worship together, to serve together. You see, a normal part of the believer's life, a normal part of the believer's life ought to be church. Not as a habit, listen to me, not as legalistic regimen. I got a meeting on every Tuesday, I have a meeting I go to. Okay, well, that's not church. I go to church every Sunday because I got to be there. That's not what we're saying. We're saying desiring to be there. It's a normal thing that you just prioritize in your life. A normal part of the believer's life, not as habit, not as being legalistic so I can check it off. It just should be naturally a strong desire to come and worship. Come expecting God to have a word for you every week. And it may not come from up here. It may come from out there. That's how God does it. He's not exclusive to how He does things. It needs to be a naturally strong desire, placing it as a high priority, something we look forward to, doing as much as going to a movie or a ball game or another event. So let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I just want to touch there a little bit on those scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He, God, He Himself gave some to be apostles, church planters, church establishers, some prophets speaking the word in a prophetic nature, some evangelist evangelizing, helping bring people to Christ, renewing faith, some pastors and teachers. God gives those ministry gifts. Those are ministry gifts to the church. Now, I'm not going to get into a deep theological study today teaching. There are a lot of theology out there that believes the apostles and the prophets, because Scripture says they were the foundational part of establishing the church in the very beginning, they no longer are existing. But I'm not going to get into all that. That's deep theology, what you got to do a Bible study on. But here's the thing, the prophetic word is still spoken. That's not refuted at all, even by those that believe that. They believe the prophetic word. But you see, God used the apostles to go around and establish the church as a foundational, and the prophets to, back then they didn't have this complete Bible. The prophets spoke God's word to people. But anyway, why does he give ministry gifts to the church? Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the people. To do what? To do the work of the ministry. You see, for years and years and years, many churches believe you pay a pastor, he does all the work. He does all the ministry. Well, besides not being practical or possible, it's not biblical. Because you see, my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's what he's saying right here. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body. Why am I encouraging you to bring people to Easter Sunday that don't go to church? To help build the body. It's not just my job. I do my part in that. But it's everybody's job to build the body. For the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, knowing who He is, coming to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, maturing, growing, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff being taught out there. You do realize that, don't you? Be careful what you watch on TV and listen to. No, I'm not talking about R-rated stuff. I'm talking about Christian programs. Christian programs. Be careful what teaching and preaching you listen to. It's not all truth. A lot of it's heresy and twisted. Okay, why am I saying this? This scripture, these ministry gifts, we're going to hold a revival in a few weeks, a week after Easter, where an evangelist is going to come in. Why? Well, I talked to you earlier about refreshing your faith, about recharging your spirit and renewing your commitment. You see, we can all get in a stale in our faith. Do you know that? Nobody's going to admit that. Well, I will. Even as a pastor, I admit I can get stale in my faith if I'm not careful. And we can just do things out of habit. Evangelist is one of the ministry gifts God gives to the church. See, it's called a fivefold ministry. And when they work in balance, and they work with one another, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophetic, it helps, it builds up the church. That's why God gives it to the church. So that's one of the reasons why we're going to do that, to bring an evangelist in to do that, to bring a word in that God gives him for us, to encourage you in your faith, to encourage you in your walk, your spiritual walk, to help you grow and mature, as the word says here. Now, let me say this. I might not like everything he tells me, everything I hear from him, but I have to trust if God's given him to the church, given the evangelist gift to the church, we need to receive it when he speaks truth to us. You know, sometimes, have you ever heard the cliche, the truth hurts? Well, it really does, doesn't it, sometimes? Especially when we're not really operating in the truth or adhering to truth. Sometimes it hurts. It's like, ow. But that doesn't mean throw it away or don't receive it. That's probably when we need to receive it the most. When someone lovingly, in love and in obedience to God, comes in and shares truth with us. That's part of the body, building the body. That's part of it. And so that's what we want to do. We need to be equipped. We need to come to unity of faith of who Jesus Christ is and what He wants to do in our life. We need to speak the truth in love, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in all things in Christ, who's the head. You see, we got to grow. Think about it. If when you went to school, and some of you are too old to remember that, like me, but when you're in school, but some of you, even your young people, if you go to school and you put the time in and you go through 12 years of high school and you don't put any effort or learn anything, it's wasted. Same thing if you go to college or a tech school or a trade school. What's no different here? You can go to church for years and years and years. People do. Many people do, and they don't learn anything. What does that mean? They don't grow and mature. How many of you have ever been in school and one of your professors or teachers or instructors told you something you didn't like? Mm-hmm. Thank you, young lady. One honest one. Of course. But you probably needed to hear it, didn't you? You know? And so it's the same thing here. We need to, the word says, grow and mature into Him who is the head, Jesus. From, look at verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. The whole body joint and knit together. Joined and knit together with every joint. Jesus joins us together. And every part does its share. By which every part, effectively working, does its share, what happens? What does it say? Is there another? There it is. The effective working by which every part does its share, what happens? It causes growth. See why we're important? See why every person here is important? Because if you come in and you're operating like this and you're seeking this, you're seeking God, you're going to cause growth. And others are going to cause growth in you. We cause growth in each other. It's the way God designed it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as I close. And I've just got a couple of more scriptures I want us to look at this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. You know, this, I'm going to share these last two scriptures with you because if nothing else, all this other stuff I've been sharing with you for the last several minutes, if you don't get any of that, you need to get these next two things, okay? And I don't think they're on the screen because I don't think I gave them to the tech team. So I'm just going to share them with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's why, church. Because Jesus gave himself up for the church. He died for the church. And in Acts chapter 20, this is speaking to shepherds or overseers, elders, pastors. But I want you to get the note because the gist of it, because it's real clear at the end of this passage, Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His blood. Why church? Because Jesus purchased it with His blood. Those two scriptures I just gave you, if nothing else, if you have no other reason to go to church, those two scriptures, and especially that last line there, He purchased it with His blood. If for no other reason, that's why church. Let's pray together. Jesus purchased it with His blood. He purchased the church. But here's the thing we need to understand. We need to understand who the church is. The church is us. It's people. So when the scripture says He purchased the church, He purchased it with His blood, that means He purchased your life with His blood. Well, what does that mean? That means He purchased your life with His life. He gave up His life so you could have your life in Him. So that you wouldn't be overcome by sin and be destined to hell. He gave up His life. He purchased it with His blood. And so that's why, church, that's why, people, that's why we're here. Because He purchased us with His blood. And for those of you that may not know Him, may not have received that gift yet, I just want you to know it's real clear there in that scripture. Jesus died for you. He purchased your life with His blood so that you could have eternal life when this life here is over. So that you have a destiny that's in heaven and not hell. Because both of those are real. Both of those are real. And all of our destiny is one or the other. Our destination. Not our destiny, our destination. Our destiny is to be in heaven. But we have to choose that as our destination. And the way we choose that is by choosing Christ. And so if you haven't done it, I want to encourage you this morning to choose Christ. Put your faith in Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Confess to Him that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and that He did purchase your salvation with His blood. And just receive it. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to move about the auditorium. And if you need prayer this morning for any reason, you know, if you need God in your life, they'll help you. They'll pray with you. If you need healing, if you need hope, you know, that's why church. So we come together and we read it in the scriptures to encourage one another, to fellowship one another, and for prayers, to pray for one another. And so use this time. There's people at the back and in the aisles, and I'm at the front here. We want to pray with you. So use this time to let people pray for each other. For those who may be just struggling with life, period, maybe struggling with a relationship or struggling with your faith, God, encourage them this morning. Let them sense your presence in their life. Let them sense that you are real and you care about what's going on in their life right now. And that you love them. And that you're there for them. And that they can reach out to you. And they can trust you and depend on you. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how big the mountain looks, you're still there for them. And you can either take them over it, or around it, or through it. Lord, I pray for all the single parents this morning. I ask you to encourage them, Lord. Encourage them in such a great and important position they have as single parents. To be both mom and dad. To carry the load, sometimes without help. God, encourage them this morning. Let them know that you're watching them. And you're rooting for them. And you're there for them. And that if they'll reach out to you, you'll give them strength. You'll give them just enough for today. And that you'll be there tomorrow to do it again. Lord, we thank you that all we have to do is come to you and believe by faith that you are who you say you are. And we can see you do fabulous things in our lives if we just believe you and trust you with our faith. God, I pray for our young people. Our children, teenagers, college students. God, for the world that they grow up in, that they're growing up in. Unbelievable challenges. With the world trying to tell them that what the Bible teaches them is not true and is not applicable in this world and in their culture. God, protect their hearts. God, help them to see truth. And to walk in that truth, to hold firm to your truth, and to not let go. Not let the world dissuade them from that foundation that you've given them. Pray for the parents to have wisdom. Wisdom and discernment on how to encourage their children in the world they're growing up in. Trying to adjust to and trying to break into and be a part of. God, help them. Help us all. God, help us all. To know truth, to believe truth, and to stand in truth. We thank you for these things, God, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you with our tithes and our offerings. We thank you that you promise us to provide our needs, and that you do, unequivocally. And so we say thank you. Our trust is in you, not in chariots, not in horses, not in men, not in people. Our trust is in you, and we demonstrate it faithfully with our tithes and offerings. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure you use that connection point today. If you made a decision or have a prayer request, put it on there. We pray over those prayer requests and we have people that pray over them. If you made a decision for any reason, any way, for Christ, check it on the back there. And we'll send you some information to help encourage you get started in your faith walk. If you made a decision Have a prayer request watching online over the internet. Go to our website. Send an email. There's a place you can send a prayer request there. Or you can contact us and let us know how we can help you or connect with you. We want to encourage you. We want to be the church. The church that Jesus Christ wants us to be. Ushers, if you'll come forward and receive the tithes and offerings.